At 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he hasn't seen? Say, your brother you can see, you hate. Say, how can you say you love God? Your brother, you've isolated. You say, but God, you have received. He said, no. That the way you treat people shows something about what you are projecting also to God Almighty. And when we close people out, let me tell you, yes, we can suffer pain by allowing people, but we grow in wisdom if you handle it right. One king back then I read in the 13th century, his sons were scheming as to who will take over after him. He said, it is not in my palace and in my courts. You'll be scheming, doing politics. It's on the streets, we'll find out who the next king will be. All of you leave my house. He went and built houses for them and said, there will be no fence in the houses. He said, anybody who starts erecting a fence, the minute you start erecting a fence, it means you lack wisdom, you will not be king. You will keep your fence low, and your security will be in how to interact with the people on the outside. Are you following what I'm saying? Which means the person who will be king is the one the people can interact with. You maintain your honor as prince, but at the same time, there was no distance between you and the people. So when we reopen our lives, we can start growing in wisdom. We can start learning things and discovering things. And then we can begin to enter into a personal relationship with God. Without this, the story will be like a woman who once said, who had suffered a lot of abuse and said, this is how it affected my relationship with God. She said, my adult mind had an objective acceptance of the reality of God and his word, which means I could explain it. It had an objective, I could do that. Said, but my problem was with my heart. I couldn't personally connect with him. So what happens with us is we can explain the word of God. We can teach the word of God. But do we have that personal relationship with God? You know, I was telling them on the Island Center that we glorify ourselves in the New Testament. We explain a lot of things. But look, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when I read it again, I said, this boy's tried. They tried it. Because if they put fire out and they say, choose between bowing and entering the flames, how many people are sure that this fire, if I enter into it, I will not be burnt? The minute they put that challenge before you, you'll start saying that, listen to me, it is not the letter of the scripture you follow, but the spirit of the word. Fire in the word of God doesn't act. We're not saying it's just circumstantial. These are, even it could be your soul, the flame in your soul. All right. But you said at the same time, you have a better covenant than them. Our relationship is superior. They are servants, we are salt. Enter the fire. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? Which means that theoretically, you have accepted everything. But there's this heart relationship those people had that we are still void of. Are you following what I'm saying here? That you take Daniel and throw him into the den of lions and he knew nothing will happen to him. Those men, the Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong. There's a knowledge of God. I don't say the pathway to beginning to get this knowledge of God right in our souls. Not just knowing the principle, but knowing the person that is behind it. And in order to get there, this is what we need to learn to do. We must have the courage to take the dusty box of experiences we have had in the past, many that we still hurt from, and enter into the safe haven of God's presence. The safe haven of God's presence means this is between you and God, and nobody in this world needs to know what you are doing. You need not tell any man, but for you to hold it in your heart and not deal the matter with God, then that is trouble. So you take it in the safe haven of God's presence, where we understand that in the privacy of our own thoughts, we can acknowledge our wounds and scars before God and allow him to heal us. Which means God gave us thoughts, and that's where he has privacy with us. Look, everybody's looking at me, seemingly spiritual and attentive. But in your thought life, another conversation might be going on that nobody knows. You might be thinking about the eba you are going to eat immediately after this message. And that, yeah, you forgot that crayfish you are going to buy. But you see, you can't, nobody knows. And God is good to you. He keeps it between you and him. Only him knows what you are thinking. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means there's a conversation in the privacy there. And God says, this is how the healing is going to occur. You don't have to. This is not therapy. This is not, you know, you go and call people, you know, and all of that. Somebody sent me in church a tweet, I think it was Wesley Snipes, and you know, he's gone through a lot. He said he's discovered that, you know, telling people won't solve your problem. Right? Yesterday, I retweeted something I saw on Sky, Cliff Richard. He was talking about prayer. This was in England. And they asked him on Sky. He said, people here, I know you don't believe in all this God thing and all of that. But he said, let me tell you, when I was in deep trouble. He said, deep trouble in my life. He said, let me tell you something about friends. They might talk, they might comfort, but at night they must go to their houses. You will be left all alone. He said, the only person that can be there with you 24 hours is God. He said, and you need to know how to carry these things and take them to God personally. He said, I did that. He said, and I forgave the people that harmed me and hurt me. He said, and I'm completely free of what happened. So in the privacy here of your own thought life, which means in the safe chamber of God's presence, you want to carry those things there to him, that these things, all right, are still sore areas in my heart. All right? Nobody needs to know, but people carry these things. Some people can be angry with their spouse about something 10 years ago. And they just keep it inside their heart. Like one man went to me, so I said, let me tell you, what you did that reception, the woman said, after 15 years, and you never mentioned it to me. 15 years it has been in your heart. Do you see how petty the man will look? Saying, what happened in the reception? You look like a fool. In fact, you look like a fool. Some of the things that might even be causing grief, you can't say it. Because if you say it, say, at your age. At your age. This is embarrassing. Honestly. You mean, And we've been living in the house, sleeping on the same bed, This small, So, but the thing touched you. All right? The beef is there. All right? And you will struggle. So he says, take those things in the privacy. You know, when Adam and Eve got, were in the garden together and they were husband and wife, the way God described it was that they were naked and not ashamed. So when you are with Jesus, who is the bridegroom, you are the bride, you are naked and you are what? Not ashamed. Those thoughts, you want to carry those things to him. Now, what do you do with them? The pain there. Right? These things. In Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us, and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never, by the sacrifices which they have offered year by year continually, make the commerce thereunto perfect. For would they not have ceased to be offered, but that the worshippers once purged shall no more have consciousness or sins. Which means that if they are true sacrifices and the worshiper carries into the presence of God, they should be purged once from those things and they should no longer have consciousness of those things again. So what am I saying here? In the privacy of your own heart, your take, all right, these issues here to God in worship. You carry them to Him and say, well, and God showed me something. He said, you see this brokenness thing. He said, I know it doesn't fit well with your faith, your theology. But he said, this brokenness thing, I need people to be broken. He said, because they are like containers. It's where they break that my glory can shine out of. That's why the Bible says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When they hit Jesus, glory came out. So you are containing, you're a container here of the glory of God. When they break it, the light shines. Where they break, the light shines. Where they break, the light shines. So all those broken areas, the glory of God should extend out of those places. The light beams of God should start coming out from those things that you are holding back, that you are shielding. That's where the light beam should come out. That's where the faithfulness should come out. That's where the fruitfulness should come out. That's where they come out. That's where when Sarah was barren, that's the area where he was broken. Where that area was where, you know, a father of many nations, I'm going to make you. That's the area where those things, the glory of God is going to shine forth. All right? So you take those things to him in worship. And as you get in there and pour, I don't understand why it happens the way it happens. I cannot explain it. That's God and man. That you enter into the presence of God is like he sucks out all the pain, sucks everything out of the situation, removes the sting of death out, and releases you, and you leave that place completely healed. No longer, it's left your being. You don't answer altar calls in future about it. Nobody can preach and say, listen, if you are here 15 years ago, something happened. It didn't happen to you. It's gone. All right? You've entered in once and for all. You go in there and it is removed from your presence, from your heart. And God converts that thing later into something that is powerful and sweet. Let's give a few examples about this. 2 Samuel. This is what David did. 2 Samuel. And I begin to close with this. Chapter 12. 2 Samuel and chapter 12. And verse 18. It says, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. This was David's child that he had with Bathsheba. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke unto him, and he will not hearken to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But David saw the servants whisper, and David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And they expected David to cry and weep. And David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. So they said, well, the letter has been written. What was inside the letter? He's broken up. And he didn't cry. While the relationship was, you were doing everything, but when is that? I'm gone. You enter and worship. Right? And when you worship, something gets out of you. Let me tell you, he removes the pain. You say, can the man come back? He can come back, but he goes sweat. You get what I'm saying? Which means he won't find you in weakness. He won't find you crying. Do you get what I'm saying? He won't find you. Before he even says, I want to back, say, yes, 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 all right. He won't find you. He will find strength. He will find somebody else that is there, completely healed. All what he used to do in the past, let's say this year, that you will take and entertain, you say, well, I'm not taking this again. You stop all of this. These are the conditions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You say, is it jam I'm doing? You say, well, that 6, 7, before anything happens. There is strength that is on the inside of you. Strength that was not there before. Do you get what I'm saying here? All right? David went in and worshipped. And when he came out of the worship there, they came and said, the servant said, what is this thing you have done? We don't understand. You are supposed to be weak. You are supposed to be crying. We're supposed to meet you and say, sorry, sorry. We've prepared all the comforting materials for you. What's going on here? You come in, are you faking something? David said, listen to me. What's this you've done? Thou did weep and you did fast while the child is dead. Now you arise and you eat bread. And he said, while the child was dead, was alive, I fasted, wept. That means while the relationship was shaking and shaking and shaking. Are you following me? I tried and tried. But now, the child, the relationship is over. But now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? Ask him. Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him and he shall not return. So I have moved on. Do you get what we're saying here? And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, went to Nathan, and she bare his son, and his name was Solomon. Shortly, another man comes, and that's it. It's over. And the man learns a lesson for the rest of his eternal life. He's gone. You are gone. Solomon has come. Do you get what we're saying here? It's over. He gets to church, just sees you walking, and says, no. You're on a rebound. Rebound. You're moved on. You understand what I'm saying? Are you following there? You've worshipped yourself into a new realm. And that's what David did. And look, I can't explain it, but you carry these things to God in worship. Or if you keep lingering in pain, all right, they call me back to the job. You enter into worship, and when you complete the worship before God, the desire to go back has gone. Are you following what I'm saying? Something has been born in the place of worship. You are completely healed of that. It's time, all right, to move on. And move, right, into something else. And let me just close by reading Daniel. What Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego did. In Daniel chapter 3, it says this of them. Remember, they put an image that they should bow down and worship. And it says in verse 10, O king, thou hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music shall do what? Fall down and worship. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth should be cast into the midst. These folks refused. And so in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace. And then in verse 23, right? In verse 22, therefore, the king's commandment was urgent. The furnace was exceeding hot. The flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fell down bound, which means when you want to worship, you fall down. So the minute they threw them in, they fell down and they were worshiping God. Do you get what I'm saying? Bound. But they started worshiping in the flames. And what happened next? Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste and said, did we cast three men bound into the midst? They said, yes. And he answered, I see four men loosed walking in the midst of the flame and have no hurt. In other words, as you start worshiping, the presence of God comes. You know what you do? Walk in the midst of the flame. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't be loosed. Which means, yes, he broke up with me. Start walking in it. Don't push it somewhere. All right, he broke up. Go to where he broke up and worship the Father and thank him. He said it in a cruel way and worship him. The pain disappears. Well, after that, I didn't like the way his sisters treated me. Worship their Father. That one disappears. Then you go, I didn't like this. Worship and go around the entire experience. It's like they start touching you. Everything is numb. All the pain you are feeling is gone. Do you get what I'm saying here? You say, well, I lost the job. Worship. In the place. I don't like the way they said it, worship. It was my friend that lied on me, worship over that. Every area where there can be pain, worship there. And when you worship, all those cells get dead in those areas. And you are loosed from there and completely free. And when the enemy sees you are free, he says it's all over. You are now promoted into the next place that you're supposed to be because you have been freed from this. Now, let me close by saying something. And God showed me this, and I just want to say it. There are some of you who have gone through things that was unjust. Listen, there is no explanation around it. You had no business going through it. You did nothing wrong to have gotten through it. Right? It was not your own fault. You were defenseless at the time where it happened. And it hurt you deeply. Now, the explanation I want to bring to you from God is this. That there is, nobody can minister into somebody's life if you haven't experienced some of the things they are going through. is a law in scripture. That's why God didn't just preach from heaven. Jesus came, is the law, that he might be a faithful and merciful high priest. So he was tempted in every point as we are, which means to be able to minister. The Bible says by the grace of God, he tasted death, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death and set at liberty. There are millions of people that are suffering from things. And except God has somebody in his camp who has gone through those things and has survived, he doesn't have anybody to speak to them. So if you say something happened, that thing might be common to millions of people that have gone through it. What God is saying is this. He said, did he sin or his father? He said, no, is that the glory of God might be revealed. What he wants to do in your life is that the area of ministry, the area of service, the area where you will bless humanity will come out of all those broken places. If you will come out on top and survive those things and allow him to heal you and become victorious over those things, you'll be able to speak to people and change lives of people. Cancel younger people and change their lives. Speak there and affect the lives of people. You know, somebody in this church told me once, a lady, I can't remember, I think it was a former badger, but I can't remember who he was. But I never forgot what she said. She said, Pastor, you know what? She said, when a woman teaches faith, it comes across differently to women from the way when a man says it. Particularly if the woman is not trying to preach like a man, you know, you're trying to hard man. All right? Okay? If she preaches with her emotions and she says it, that there's a way. That's why somebody like Joyce Meyer, if you look at her crowd, predominantly women. In fact, you see so many women sometimes, I wonder why the men are there. I think their wives just carry them. Let's go. Right. But honestly, I say, what would you, you see 10 women and one man inside. I say, oh, are you okay here? All right? Just women, 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 and then you are, what's all right? Ah, all right? But a lot and healing stuff there. And it's coming from those places in their lives there. You know, when a man, you know, if a man, I think I heard Pastor Sunday say this. He said, look, a man is compartmentalized. So he's, let's look at these squares here. This is his will. This is his emotions. This is his mind. All right. If you affect his mind, his emotions is far from the mind. So he can be at home, can be fighting with the wife. They have problem in the marriage. When he gets to work, nobody knows. Hey, hi, guy, what's happening? How is work here? Like, we need to do all the things. Nobody will know. After that, he goes to see his friend, my guy. Nobody knows. Until he gets back home. The territory is mapped out. Problem area. I deal with problem here. But once he leaves that area, he's free. But a woman, if she has problem in the house, immediately she gets to the office. What's the matter today? Please, honestly. All right. Because her own is secular. Which means once you touch one, you touch everything. The man is compartmentalized. You touch one, you only touch one. He can be very rational. All right? Something I say, you're a fool. A man, after he said a fool, they want to do business together. He said, leave that. Please, you say I'm a fool, leave that. This is business. We need to make money. Leave fool alone. But the woman will say, how can you think I can do business properly when you just said I have no capacity to think? The man understands that fool, oh, just so fool. This is business, money, eh? After we finish money, we'll solve this fool one somewhere else. But the woman is like that. But whatever you're going through, look, it doesn't matter. What we drive in this earth doesn't count for what will be rewarded in heaven. This is the preparatory place. Heaven is where the real thing starts. So how many years is here? After the years finish, are you for, you see eternity over there. And when we get there, it is a well done, good and faithful servant. That's what they are saying in heaven. No? So it is service they are rewarding there. His assignment. That is, God wants to see you survive this thing. And you took it and ministered to millions. And there are millions today that are in the kingdom because you paid the price for them. That I will carry this burden for these people. Even though no violence was found in his mouth, even though he did no evil, even though he did nothing, yet he was bruised. But when he made his soul an offering and said, for the masses there, he said he will see the travail of his soul and be glad. He says, because by the knowledge he has acquired, he will justify men. That is the only meaning we can give to things that you might have gone through. That you say, this is not just. If we look at the scales here, this should not have happened to me. But when we look at the bigger plan of God, in terms of the service he wants to surrender, in terms of the ministry he wants to surrender, then the sense can be made out of those experiences you've had in your life. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. By the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.